Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, February 13th. Coming up, under the Trump administration, rising visa costs and fears at ports of entry are keeping more international artists and musicians away from the Midwest. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District recently appointed a new administrator and executive director. IPM Student Newsroom's Knox Minot reports.
Dr. Mamadou Tunkara is the new head of CU Public Health. He was appointed earlier this month after former administrator Julie Pride stepped down after 18 years of leadership. Tunkara says he wants to focus on health equity and make sure all residents in the Champaign-Urbana area have access to proper care.
The main goal is really, at least for me, going through public health is to help people, help alleviate the suffering, because there are a lot of diseases, conditions that are preventable.
Tunkara spent most of his career in Utah, working at both the state and local level. He says he hopes to apply the skills he's gained to his new role. I'm Knox Minot, IPM News.
Proposed legislation at the State House aims to put guardrails on data centers. The Power Act would make data centers pay their own costs and protect water, including in Champaign-Urbana. State Representative Carol Ammons introduced the legislation at the Prairie Rivers Network press conference in Champaign. The bill targets data centers, which Ammons says can drive up the cost of the state's water and power.
We deserve basic transparency and to know that data centers won't jeopardize our water supplies. It's absolutely critical that our energy prices don't go up because of these companies and that our water and our communities are protected from the potential harms.
The Power Act would also make it illegal for companies to use non-disclosure agreements. The new Dietary Guidelines for Americans endorses whole-fat dairy products, ending a long-standing recommendation that consumers should opt for low- and non-fat alternatives. As Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, nutrition experts say the science behind which fat option is the healthiest is a little less clear-cut.
Saturated fat is known to raise a person's cholesterol level and increase their risk of heart disease. That's why nutritionists have recommended low and non-fat dairy products for decades. But in recent years, a growing number of studies have found people who consume whole milk and full-fat yogurt are not more likely to develop heart disease. Sondra Kirsten is director of the Division of Nutritional Sciences at Cornell University. He says so far, researchers can't explain why these products are different than other sources of saturated fat.
This is such a complex subject, and you can weigh the evidence very differently.
That's why he thinks sticking mostly to low-fat dairy is still the healthiest choice. And he worries the change in the dietary guidelines has been influenced more by pro-dairy interest groups than scientific evidence. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. A new documentary from a former Trump campaign advisor calls for zeroing out the population of Chinese international students at the University of Illinois and other public universities in the U.S. China's college takeover alleges foreign students from China are taking space away from Americans and pose a national security threat. But some experts reject those claims and say it can be dangerous to say there are too many of any group of people. Xiao Dan is an East Asian studies professor at U of I.
It could lead to unintended, even harmful and disastrous social consequences. And we saw a lot of these kind of moments in our history books, not only here, but in many, many other countries too.
Xiao says one example is the case of Vincent Chin. He was a young Chinese-American man in Detroit who was killed by auto workers in 1982 when there were concerns about the rising popularity of Japanese cars. The filmmaker behind the documentary against Chinese international students says he doesn't support violence against anyone. Still to come, under the Trump administration, rising visa costs and fears at ports of entry are keeping more international artists and musicians away from the Midwest. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, sunny with a high of 54 degrees and a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 31 degrees. Southwest wind, 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain late in the day and a high of 50 degrees. South wind, 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of light rain and a low of 38 degrees, with an east wind 5 miles per hour. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 58 degrees and a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, trans people have been much discussed in American politics, from sports to bathrooms to healthcare, but their representation in elected office has been minimal. We'll talk with several Midwestern trans women looking to change that by running for office themselves. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. International artists and musicians have long seen the U.S. and the Midwest as a place to share their work and build their careers. But for many foreign creatives, just getting here has become harder, more expensive, and fraught with fear. Iowa Public Radio's Josie Fischels reports for the Midwest Newsroom.
You're listening to Swedish folk a cappella group Kungro. The group of four women embarked on their second U.S. tour last year, starting in Illinois. But for the first week of that month-long tour, member Emma Björling's voice was missing.
I was stuck back home without a visa.
To meet their scheduled tour dates, the group first paid nearly $3,000 in expedited processing fees for foreign artist visas. But because Björling was on a tour with a different music group in Canada at the time, she ran into additional delays caused by recent changes to U.S. non-immigrant visas. She was required to return home to Sweden to complete an in-person interview, which she says she hadn't been asked to do before. She ended up missing her international flight with the group while waiting for her visa. In the end, Kungro lost money on its U.S. tour and will not tour the country at all in 2026.
With all the additional fees and costs and troubles and stress, it's flipping it all over, right? So it's not worth it, not financially and not stress-wise and workload-wise.
Visa processing fees and delays have grown significantly over the past year, discouraging international artists who want to perform in the U.S. And that's just part of the picture.
There have been a number of artists that have canceled, decided not to tour.
Mateo Mukahi is with the International Latino Cultural Center of Chicago, a nonprofit that invites international dancers, filmmakers, and musicians to share their work at different venues around the city. He says some artists are choosing to avoid the U.S. altogether, not just because of the paperwork, but because of fear over what might happen when they arrive.
If you're going to tour in another country and you get hassled to no end upon entry, does it make you feel very welcome?
Immigration restrictions have intensified under the Trump administration, leading to heightened scrutiny of visiting artists at ports of entry. Last summer, a Colombian artist scheduled to paint a mural in Iowa was sent back home after being denied entry. The mural she'd created had to go up without her. A Czech clarinetist was forced to cancel a series of Midwest performances after being detained 4 hours because of a documentation issue. He was put on a flight back to Prague. Mulcahy says artists still see the U.S. as a prestigious place to share their work. But now they're thinking twice.
I spoke personally to some artists who were like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. You know, I don't know if I want to come in, even if I got everything in order, if I'm going to get hassled for 2 hours at the border.
While it's hard to quantify just how many foreign artists are skipping the Midwest, Jennifer Rowe with Folk Alliance International in Kansas City says other major markets, like Europe, feel more accessible right now.
You know, I understand the rationale for that, but that's unfortunate for our communities here in the U.S. that are missing out on the opportunities for that cultural exchange.
Rowe's organization works to ensure artists are aware of resources that can help them travel to the U.S. to showcase their talents.
Providing people as they cross the border with the best information, the best way to respond to questions is the education that we like to provide to people.
She says cultural exchange is incredibly valuable, especially in the Midwest, which is home to many independent venues and rural communities that often support performances with grants.
There's so much to learn from bringing in people from different communities and cultures.
But until the process feels more predictable, arts organizations can expect artists to rethink their visits in the coming year. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Josie Fischels.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. The Midwest Newsroom is a member of the Trust Project. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Juliana Means. Reporting today contributed by Knox Minette, Hope Kerwin, Abisola Dehunsi, Josie Fischels, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.